Okay, my name's Chris Double. I work for Mozilla on specifically the video implementation in Firefox. I apologize for the delay in starting. I had a bit of trouble getting the video working display on the projector on my little MacBook. I'm going to talk today about the implementation of the video element in Firefox, a little bit about what it is, what we went through to implement it, and some of the things that will be going on in the future. And then I have time for a few questions at the end. I also have this presentation up on the web for anyone who's watching the stream who wants to just load it in their browser at bluishcoder.co.nz/LCA2010. Should run in a current Firefox build. So what is HTML5 video? It's basically the playback of video within the browser without having to use any external plugins. What it's trying to do is avoid the need for people to have to learn obscure things like embed and object syntaxes just to get simple video playback, or to not have users have to use third-party sites like YouTube to be able to embed video. We want to be able to treat it just like an image element. Right? You see the syntax up on the screen there. We have video source equals file name. We have an attribute that enables default controls on the video, and then we close the tag. Anything in between the video element tags is fallback text that gets displayed on a browser that doesn't support video. Inside that fallback, you could have Flash or whatever to fallback for browsers that don't support it at the moment. My slides here are actually HTML slides, and I've embedded a video exactly like that line that shows there. That's what this video is at the bottom here, with the built-in controls that show as we mouse in and out. And we can play it, and the video plays within the browser, hopefully. Okay. We have a standard JavaScript API. It's not just a static video element. You can script it completely with pausing, playback, grabbing the pixel data off the video element. Some of that I'll show in a couple of quick demos later. So you get advantages above what exists in a lot of Flash solutions. You can use your standard JavaScript skills that you already know to script the video element. It also participates in the HTML rendering pipeline. This means that any CSS styling, any form of manipulation of the DOM element of the video itself will affect the playback of the video. So just a simple example here where while the video is playing, I change the opacity of the video using CSS, flicking back and forth. Right, this is just a very simple effect. And you can do any CSS transforms or whatever on the video itself. Right. The history of the video element. It was actually originally proposed by the Opera browser developers. They posted in the WhatWG mailing list that they had an experimental build with video. They were using Ogg Theora as the video codec, and it had simple playback functionality and a very basic API, basically pause, stop, and the load. Right? So people got quite excited about that, and we started implementing that as well. We thought it was a good idea. Apple had a look at it, and they actually had been working on an implementation of video in the browser as well, and they had their own specification, and they submitted that to the WhatWG. And after a lot of discussion came about, the proposals got merged, a lot of feedback from the WhatWG, from the W3C HTML working group, and we end up with what we have today. It's quite a low-level API. You can do a lot of stuff in JavaScript. You can create your own JavaScript controls. You can do a great deal of low-level scripting, or from a high-level point of view, you can use no JavaScript at all and just embed a video that can be played back by the user. Now, the HTML5 standard hasn't been completed, so there's still changes being made, still discussion going on, and feedback for anyone who is a W3C member or anyone who wants to participate in the WhatWG mailing list, that's a public mailing list, anyone can join up, they welcome feedback on both users of the element and implementers of the element, if anyone's interested in actually contributing ideas towards the development of video on the web. Now, I'm going to actually do some quick demos at the beginning, get the eye candy over with, just to show why the HTML5 video is compelling. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail of these. I'm just going to really show them with a quick explanation. And then I'm going to walk through some of the implementation aspects of video. The first one I'm going to show is subtitles. What this does is it displays, it's a video that plays. We have SRT-based subtitles, which is a very common subtitling format stored on the server. There's a JavaScript API that waits as each frame of the video changes, looks for the times in the SRT file, and displays what the subtitle that's appropriate for that time. So the subtiling implementation here is not baked into the video element or our implementation. It's built using JavaScript by the web developer itself. Change the language. Okay. So this script uses a lot of flexibility in that. If they want to do subtitles, it's easily added. A bit of JavaScript, a bit of scripting. They choose, the person who developed that chose their own whatever subtitling format they wanted to choose, in this case, SRT. Now, at some point, subtitling and accessibility and that type of thing will probably be added to the standard. But discussions are still going on in that area as to what's a good approach to bake into it. But even today, you can do subtitling using the video element. Custom controls, this is an example of someone built their own player instead of using the default built-in controls to give their own look and feel for their site. So play the video. What they did on their one is they had a little grabber that lets you resize the video as it plays. Right, that's just using the JavaScript API and CSS transforms, their own seek bar, so when you click on it and seek, you can seek to different points. Now, you can get access to the pixel data of the video by capturing the current frame of the video and storing it in an HTML canvas. And then you can use any of the canvas functionality to get the video data. Here we have a video on the left that's playing using the video element. And on the right we have a static image, which is the portion of the Firefox logo you see. And to the left of that image, which is currently gray, is a canvas. What happens is they grab the frame of the video, and they take the background of the video, the yellow pixels you see there, and they replace it on the fly with the data from the image element. So they're doing a green screen type effect where they can mix in elements to a playing video. And it's not going to work on Robert's build. Okay. I'll demo that one a little bit later if anyone asks me. There's a setting I've got to change on Robert's build to get it to work. I'm using a different laptop to mine. More complex application. This one does a very similar thing. It's grabbing pixel data from the video that you see there, and it's using JavaScript running in threads in the background using worker threads. It's also not going to work, is it? And what it does is it analyzes that pixel data to do some movement tracking. Right? I'm going to actually get that working. What we want to get across here is that the video element is not just for standard YouTube-style videos. It's for doing a lot of interesting transformations and effects as well. Okay. So there we go here. Hopefully I won't have to reload. There we go. See, you'll see the pixel data on the right. The right is the canvas element. It's taken the pixel data from the image. It's replaced the background of the video with the image data on the fly in JavaScript. Go back to the other one I quickly talked about. Again, movement tracking, analyzing the video, displaying graphs and data about movement that happens, drawing boxes around the items that move in the video. Come back into the video. Thank you. All right. So it's analyzing the bits of the video that move, drawing boxes around, drawing charts and data based upon the movement, playing around with different aspects of analyzing videos, all in JavaScript, running in the browser. One of my favorites. Here we have a video playing on the right. Someone holding two bright objects. They're analyzing the video, looking for those two bright objects, and replacing it with the image of what's in the item on the right. So when I click on things on the right, it changes. Okay. It's a little bit unsmooth, you see here, because we're running a debug build of Firefox on here. It's got a lot of stuff going on in the background. All right. On a standard production build, it's very smooth, which hopefully you're seeing if you're trying it on the live stream. We can even have video in video. Right. So, last one. This is actually one of the first demos I did with video. This is a video in SVG. This was when the Microsoft Surface thing was all the rage. We can take our videos, we can drag them around with translucent effects and rotate them. And play. Okay, so lots of interesting things you can do with HTML5 video and standard web technologies. Right, how was this done? The very first implementation we did, modeled after the Opera implementation, was to use low-level ZIF libraries to handle the OGG file format. We decided to use the Theora format, which is the same one that Opera was doing, so we could be compatible with them. We used ZIF's reference libraries with libOGG, libVorbis, and libTheora. Used them directly and based the implementation off the libTheora's example player that they provide, and worked from that. The sound that we use for the background used the Port Audio, which is an open source library for audio playback. And that gave us the first implementation that we used for demoing the video playback. The general result of what we got from that was very basic playback, no seeking at all, and a pretty bad AV sync. We had a lot of problems in the AV sync area getting right information out of Port Audio's sound. I'll talk a little bit about our sound issues later on. So we took a look at that and decided where can we move on from there and come up with a better implementation that will be a bit more solid for the production browser. And we looked around and got recommendations from the ZIF Anadex projects people. These are people who are working on the Theora codecs and APIs and libraries to do playback. And they were working on a high-level library called LibOGG Play, which makes it easier to write video players that use the Theora Vorbis codecs. So we settled on using that, and we pulled in a couple of other Anadex libraries, libOGGs and libfishsound, from there. You can find all these libraries, more information about these libraries on ziph.org, xiph.org, with information about them. LibOGGs is a library that gives you a much higher level API over OGG streams. An OGG file itself is just a container, all right? So stored within an OGG file could be anything. You could have text, you could have video, you can have audio. So within the OGG file itself, you have what are called streams. And for each track in the video, you have a separate stream. So we'll have an audio stream, we'll have a video stream, you might have a subtitle stream. Usually using libTheora and libVorbis, you get low-level access to the streams itself. You have to handle the actual synchronization between making sure that the right audio plays, the right video plays at the right time, and all that sort of thing yourself. Well, LibOGG Play sits on top of that and handles all that for you. LibOGGs provides functionality that lets you treat the streams as if they were one thing. So you can say seek to the fifth second in the stream, and LibOGGs will make sure that you're seeking to the fifth second in the audio stream, the fifth second in the video stream, fifth second in the subtitle stream, and make sure from then on the high-level API just says play from then on. So very useful libraries. We switched to LibSydney Audio as our audio backend, replacing Port Audio. Unfortunately, with Port Audio, we had a lot of issues, especially on optimized builds on the Mac. So we had to look around for different cross-platform libraries and settled on LibSydney Audio because it was also built by the same people who did LibOGG Play and people like that and worked quite well together. This is what ended up in the Firefox 3.1 alphas and betas that came out and worked quite well. And a lot of those demos started coming out based upon that implementation. Now, just as a sidetrack, that implementation gave us seeking working. Seeking in OGG files is actually quite complicated. It's not just a simple matter of saying jump to a specific point in time. Those that have used the current implementation of video or older implementations will have noticed that seeking at one point was very, very slow. You'd seek to a point in the video and it might take 30 seconds to 2 minutes to actually hit that point in the video, which is pretty unacceptable. And the reason for this is OGG has no actual index saying where the keyframes are in the file. This means if you want to sync to the fifth minute in a file, you can't just jump straight to it. What you've actually got to do is you've got to do a bisection search in the file itself. You have your beginning and end range, you pick the middle, and you read the middle of the file, and you say, what time is it at the middle of this file? And then from there, if it's higher than the one that you want, you can then bisect to a different range, and so on, narrowing down where you've got to go. It's not too slow on a local file, you know, 7 or 8 seeks, you'll get to where you want to go. But over HTTP, that becomes pretty painful because HTTP seeks are implemented using byte ranges requests. That means we go to the server and say, give me all the bytes between 50,000 and 100,000. And it goes through, does an HTTP request, returns the data, we get that, we decode the org, we go, oh, that's not the time range we want. So then we do another byte range request. Okay, so if each byte range request is taking on the order of 500 milliseconds, and in our original seeking implementation, we were doing 50 of these things to do a seek, which was way over the top, you can imagine how slow that starts to get. So we had a few problems with seeking. Not only, that actually seek point that it gives you is also the exact point the user asked for. So if I ask for 5 seconds, that will give me 5 seconds whether or not it's a keyframe or not. What that means, if we land on a non-keyframe, it's missing data it actually needs to decode the video. So you end up with corrupted frames until you hit a keyframe. Right? So the original video Firefox seeking implementation, if you seeked, you'd get maybe 2 seconds of really weird creative artistic effects until you actually hit the point you want. What you need to do then is you actually have to go from there, have a look at the position you're at, use the API to say, well, where's the nearest keyframe going backwards, seek to that keyframe, doing another search, and then read forward again to the point that the user asked for. So there's an enormous amount of HTTP requests that happen as a result of seeking in Theora files, which is why seeking has always been a little bit slow. It was extremely slow at first. We've done a lot of optimizations to get it up faster, and now it's significantly better. In particular, we use the local cache of downloaded video if they're seeking to and search that area first to make bisection seeks a lot faster by searching locally downloaded data. To complicate matters as well, we also need to get the duration of the video. As part of the API, you can query the duration. Og files don't store duration. You have to calculate it, all right? And the way to do that is to seek to the end of the file, read the timestamp at the end, get the duration, and use that. So what that means is whenever you load a Theora file, one of the first things that's actually happening is it's actually stopping the load, seeking to the end of the file with a byte range request, reading the data there, stopping again, going back to the beginning of the file, reopening and seeking from there. So loading of files, we had challenges there, having to optimize that process of gaining the duration. One thing that's upcoming that Chris Pierce, one of the Mozilla developers, has worked on is a stream inside Og files that can hold index data. He's got a reference implementation of that running. We've got test builds of Firefox that use that, and we've contributed patches to some of the other tools that can be used to generate this index that allows you to jump straight to a keyframe and decode forward, making seeking almost instantaneous. So a lot of work's been done in that area, and we'll see improvements on that coming up in future builds and in other tools as those patches start getting included in other tools. Now, about that time of finishing of Firefox 3.1, as it was called then, before it got renamed to Firefox 3.5, we sidetracked into exploring doing native backends for Video Element. So instead of custom implementing a base codec, the Og codec, we thought we'll go and move to using GStreamer on Linux, DirectShow on Windows, QuickTime on Mac OS X. You'll see listed on the slide there are the bug numbers of the bugs that hold the patches for those native backends that at one point were working at the time when Firefox 3.1 existed. They've suffered quite a bit of bit rot now, so it won't apply, but they're still there. So what we got working was we got basic playback working using those native backends. On GStream on Linux, for example, could play H.264 files if you had the Fluendo codec or some other H.264 codec. DirectShow could play the codecs on Windows. QuickTime could play whatever was supported on Mac. The downside with taking that approach we found was that there was actually no common codec that existed across all the major operating systems. All right? So say we chose H.264 as a codec and we used system codecs. That would mean that users on Linux would be able to play H.264 content, but only if they had installed, say, the GSTBAD plugins or had paid for Fluendo's H.264 codec. People on Windows XP were out of luck. There was no H.264 codec on that unless they paid for it themselves. QuickTime, they were fine. They had H.264 baked in. Theora, that would play back using the GStreamer backend natively. DirectShow, it would only play back if they had the correct plugin. QuickTime would only play back if they had the correct plugin. So we're back to the old plugin issue again. We We also had issues with the fact that by being able to play any codec in the system, you have problems with on Windows where a lot of codecs are available or actually malware in disguise. People will do things like they'll download a torrent of a TV program, and at the beginning of it, it'll say, thanks for downloading my torrent. To play this, you need to install codec X. Right? So people go, oh, okay. They install codec X, and they've just become a contributor to a botnet for the world. All right? We want to avoid that issue on the web. We don't want people to go to a website and have it say, you need to install codec Y to play this, and then Firefox has helped people exploit their machine and become open to everything out there. So after a lot of discussion, we decided we're going to concentrate on the Theora backend, and work on getting that as the core backend for video playback in Firefox. So we went back to implementation 2, stopped development on the native backends, continued work on libogplay. We worked closely with the ZIF people and contributed patches back towards libogplay, and they contributed patches to us for Firefox. We worked really closely, and we found that it was very beneficial working with them on getting both a good library for playback and getting Firefox playback working well. The end result of that is the media functionality you see in Firefox 3.5 and the upcoming 3.6, which is what powers those demos that you saw there. Now, libogplay as a library allows basic playback to be implemented very quickly. If all you want to do is SD-level video played back on a single thread, then it works very well. Unfortunately, when we started wanting to move to playing back HD-sized video, 1080p, 720p, we were starting to hit issues with the design of libogplay, mostly related to audio-visual syncing. What libogplay does is it gives you an API function which basically says, give me the next packet of video and audio data that I need to play for the next frame. So it gives you just enough audio data for the next frame and the video data for the next frame. But if you're handling video where it's longer to decode than the size of the frame, we need to be able to skip frames. Now, if we skip frames using the libogplay API, unfortunately, it means you have to skip audio too. You can't, because it's all delivered as one packet. So fundamentally, there's no way of skipping video frames but keep the audio playing smoothly. This is why sometimes on large videos on Firefox, you'll hear the audio skip as it goes through. Right? It's because we can't actually skip frames. What we want to be able to do is we want to skip the display, the YUV to RGB conversion, and the display of the video data. In worst case, we want to actually be able to skip the decoding of the frame itself if we have to drop. We want to be able to concentrate on just getting the audio data at worst and getting keyframe data next, and then anything else if we can play back. Right? So smooth audio should be the number one, followed by keyframes, followed by everything else. And the final major issue we had with the libogplay is it doesn't support chained OGs. What a chained OG is, if you take one self-contained OG file and you can take a second self-contained OG file, you can concatenate those two files together using a simple cat operation, and you end up with a valid OG file that's the sum of the two parts that should play from beginning to end. This is often used in internet streaming radio stations. Icecast, the product that does streaming audio and video, uses it. So what that means is if you want to play Icecast streaming radio, you need to be able to support chained OGs. Right? If you currently go to most internet radio stations in Firefox and start playing, you'll either get the first track or you'll get the pre-roll of the radio station where it says, thank you for joining our radio station, and then stops. All right? So we need to get chained OG playback in libogplay. This is things they're working on, but unfortunately that combined with the AV sync are actually quite major reorganizations of the libogplay code. So what we've decided on then was, well, we'll have another look at the low-level OG APIs, and rather than using a generic framework, we'll use something that's customized more towards the way Firefox works and take advantage of some of the ways Firefox works and change things to prioritize the audio playback and build it to skip frames. So this is currently under development. It's bug 531340. It currently works. Still in development, though. It skips frames properly, falling back to keyframes only, plays 1080p on normal hardware rather than super-duper high-end hardware, skipping to keyframes or whatever as needed. It has an additional benefit that we've reduced the code footprint by taking out the need to use libogs, libfish sound, and libogplay. One thing I found that surprised me by suddenly pulling in half a dozen or more third-party libraries into Firefox is all these libraries have to be audited, they're all going to be fuzz tested, they've got to be studied, and this is actually an enormous amount of work, and also is keeping track of all the patches and all that sort of thing. So by reducing our code footprint to just the raw libog libraries, gave a bit of advantage in development in that area there. And we've fed back our findings to Ziff and Anadex towards the LibogPlay project to help benefit, hopefully, towards that going forward. We had a Foundations of Open Media conference last week where all their developers were there, and we were there as well. We had lots of discussions about way forward to where those things are going to go. So it's not a complete loss to LibogPlay. Development will still be going forward on that. Now, audio has probably been the single biggest problem in developing video playback. We had videos running up in the first few days, but audio, we've had great difficulty working, still have great difficulty working, in particular cross-platform audio and audio on Linux. At the time that we developed this, remember this was almost 3 years ago, the options for audio were different than they are today. Pulse Audio didn't exist. We had things working with the Ulster, we used Ulster as our back end. Pulse Audio came along and everything broke. And ever since then, we've had great difficulties working with Pulse Audio playback, mainly because of our use of the Ulster API and Pulse Audio's Ulster emulation being slightly different from the looks of things. We do things like needing to get current sound buffer position that's being played back in hardware so we can do AV syncing and things like that. And we had a lot of issues with that. So what we need to do is revisit Libsyn, the audio API we're using, and fix those issues and get that moving in the next version of Firefox. That has really been quite a stumbling block, getting that audio information there. We found documentation for writing AV sync-based audio apps to be quite lacking, cross-platform ones to be quite lacking, and that the various libraries we used we had a lot of trouble with. Port Audio, for example, at the time, this was 3 years ago, when we did optimized builds, we got random crashes. We were using multi-threading, so we were having issues with some of the ring buffer code at the time. When we moved to Libsyn Audio, that fixed a lot of those problems, and then it introduced a whole lot of other problems where the Ulster backend wasn't quite up to scratch, wasn't working properly, had a half-working OSS backend. We had contributors to Mozilla rewrite the OSS backend and give a new OSS backend. I did the new Ulster backend, and other people have contributed to the Ulster backend and got that working. So we're a lot better than what we were. But definitely 3 years ago, Linux, working across all three platforms, we found a huge struggle. The graphics backend is not hardware accelerated for video playback in Firefox. What this means is that if you compare playback of Firefox to a, say, VLC or a player that uses direct hardware blitting of the video data, you'll see that use a lot less CPU. This is because we are actually participating in the HTML rendering pipeline, meaning we have to grab the pixel data, give that to our HTML renderer, and say, do stuff with that, and then display that to the screen. Right? We can't take the YUV data and say, give this to some hardware service and just display it on the screen, right, in the general case. So all rendering is done in software. We still get good performance out of it, even given that. Work is in progress on moving parts of that graphics pipeline to hardware and optimizing cases where that can be done. So performance in that area will improve. All the browser vendors in their initial implementation faced that issue where playback was in software. And now everyone's concentrating on how can we get this playback performance optimized in hardware. And things are going pretty well on that end. For YUV to RGB conversion, we're using LibogPlay's libraries, which are optimized SSH2 routines. It's a bit of a bottleneck at the moment, but our main bottleneck is actually painting the data on the screen and getting that updated fast enough. For those interested in using the low-level LibVorbis, LibFiora APIs, I've written a number of articles on my weblog, bluishcoder.co.nz. There are links to these if you go to this presentation online. I go through reading OGG files using LibOGG, decoding Vorbis with LibVorbis, and decoding Theora files using LibTheora, and then combining them more to AV sync based upon the information I learned while building Firefox. I also built some example command line players that run on Linux, Mac OS X, and Windows. to experiment with different ideas. One of them is ogplyr. That's a command line player that uses libogplyr, implemented in a similar manner to the way Firefox works, so we could use that for tracking down bugs, and whether there were bugs in Firefox or bugs in the libraries we were using or bad design in our end or whatever. And there's also plog, which is a command line player that just uses libogs, libvorbis, and libthura. And that gave us the opportunity to experiment with the frame-skipping algorithms and comparing performance between the two different approaches. On mobile, Mozilla funded an effort to get Theora ported to the DSP chip running on some machines. So we've now got Theora running on a TI-64X plus DSP and OMAP3, taking the load of decoding Theora off the CPU and putting onto the DSP. This is important for mobile devices, for example, the Nokia N900. Work is still going on the GStreamer back end. That's still actively developed by a member of the mobile team to get the one thing about mobile, some of the mobile vendors use GStreamer for optimized decoding and playback of video. So they have an intention to look at using the GStreamer back end for that. So the GStreamer is still under active development. And video today. So we've now got Theora playback in general works across three major browsers using the video element. That's Chrome, Firefox, and Opera, who have just come out with their alpha build with video playback that follows the same specification. So all these sites either now or eventually will work on those three browsers. Safari also has video support. They've implemented theirs using QuickTime as their back end, so you need a plug-in if you want to be able to play Theora on QuickTime. Number of sites are already using the video element. I've listed three there. Daily Motion, very large YouTube-style site, is using the video element. Wikimedia is using it. They're using it for their videos. They have a fallback that falls back to a Java applet that displays Theora videos using Cortado, a Java applet. And archive.org also has OGG videos and video element usage. On Friday, Robert O'Callaghan is going to be giving a talk covering other parts of the video element, most particularly why Theora, why not other codecs, and discussing areas to do with that. Okay. If anyone has any questions, now's your chance.
Is this for things that aren't watching videos? What's the status of something like an RTP support? And how would you go about adding that in a cross-platform manner? Because that's quite a big sort of stack of code, adding a whole...
What was the question again, sorry?
RTP support, for example, as a...
Yeah. At the moment, we don't have any RTP support. We're only concentrating on HTTP. You can play live streams over HTTP using something like Icecast. There are people interested in RTP support and are people playing around with ideas in that space. Nothing specific, though, at the moment. It's certainly something that people are definitely interested in and are working on ways of doing that. Cool.
LCA would like to present you with this little gift of thank you for
your
presentation today.
Thank you.